Thank you, Donna and Julie, for the great reading job today. Thank you, Jeff and Violet, for a great job lighting our candle. I have to admit, Jeff, by profession, is a firefighter. So I never felt so safe lighting an Advent candle. Barry asked me, I'm going to read a poem that he gave me to start first that I read at the memorial service. And as we know, Barry is a teddy bear, that big guy. He has a deep heart that is special. So he wanted me to read this. It's a poem entitled, If Tears Could Build a Stairway. If tears could build a stairway and memories a lane, I would walk right up to heaven and bring you back again. No farewell words were spoken, no time to say goodbye. You were gone before I knew it, and only God knows why. My heart still aches with sadness, and secret tears still flow. What it meant to love you, no one can ever know. But now I know you want me to mourn for you no more, to remember all the happy times life still has much in store. Since you'll never be forgotten, I pledge to you today, a hallowed place within my heart is where you'll always stay. Let's pray. Our Father God, we do give you thanks for your love for us. And Father, when we are going through times of distress and sadness and discouragement, we know you're there. You said in your word you will never leave us or forsake us. And Father, what a beautiful poem that is. It's a poem of hope. And despite the sadness, it's a poem of joy as well. So, Father, we give thanks again, and as we look into your word this morning, may you bless the word of God. May you speak to each of our hearts. May the power of your Holy Spirit be in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Hello. My name is Eric. I was born in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and I am a theology junkie. See, I really do desire to understand the deeper things of God as I grow in my Christian faith. If I'm on a desert island, give me a book of theology and I'm good to go. And a Bible, of course. I desire to understand the deep things of God. And while we as Christians, we hold to the Holy Trinity, which is perhaps one of the most complex, majestic, mysterious teachings that we hold to, there's another teaching that might even be more mysterious than that. And that is what theologians call the hypostatic union. The hypostatic union. It sounds really complicated, but it's not all, well, it's a complicated concept. But the passage that I read from Matthew kind of ties into what this is. Let me just read to you what the description is of the hypostatic. And now you're going to know what this is. If you go out to lunch today and they'll say, hey, what did your preacher talk about? You say, the hypostatic union. If you remember to say that. Here it is. Here's a definition from the Desiring God website by David Mathis. Jesus had two complete natures, one fully human and one fully divine. What the doctrine of the hypostatic union teaches is that these two natures are united in one person, in the God-man. Jesus is not two persons. He is one person. The hypostatic union is the joining, mysterious though it may be, of the divine and the human in one person, and that is Jesus. As I read through the message today, which was from Matthew, which is one of the birth narratives, this really struck me. And I recall one of my seminary classes, I think it was Christology, and they talked about Christ from above. We understand Christ from above. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Christ from below, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word becoming flesh is described by Matthew in the passage that I read. There were three points that stuck out to me as I studied our text. The one is the prophetic fulfillment of Jesus' birth. The birth of Christ was not a last-minute plan B of God. God wasn't giving humanity one last chance after giving us all these opportunities to get it right and all of our continued failure, a plan B or a last chance. But this was God's plan all along. This is the plan from the beginning. If you were to go way back to Genesis chapter 3:15, it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. That is referring to when it says, and this is where God is talking to Satan after the disobedience of Adam and Eve, right? God says to Satan, I will put an enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, referring to in the future the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He will crush Satan, but you will strike his heel, referring to the crucifixion on the cross. Matthew, however, when he is composing his gospel, goes back only 700 years or so to the book of Isaiah. We discussed this in more detail in Sunday school, but the 14th verse of chapter 7 in Isaiah, it talks about there will be a virgin that will be with child. It's what we call as Christians the virgin birth. The virgin birth. We hold to the virgin birth. So this was not any last-minute plan. This is something that Matthew included in his gospel as he is giving the narrative of the birth of Christ. This was prophetic. This was actually prophesied way back 700 years ago. For Christians, we clearly understand that Matthew, the Jewish tax collector, being guided by the Holy Spirit, undoubtedly saw the birth of Christ as a fulfillment of the Isaiah 7:14 passage. In addition to the fulfillment of the birth of Christ, I noted the miraculous nature of the birth of Christ. Now, I remember during the height of the pandemic, and it was impossible to stay away from the news, right? Unless you put your head in the sand. But there was a lot of news, and a lot of it got about, well, you know, we heard about science. What does the science say? We should follow the science. And I think it was, I think we would all have to admit there was a little bit of politicizing with the science, probably from everybody. It got political. But we do want to look to the science. We want to look to science. But when we come to the virgin birth, this is almost like a slap in the face of science. Right? Women typically do not become with child in this manner. It's a miracle. It is a miracle. We are people of faith. And where Scripture calls us to embrace something that would appear to be counter to science, we embrace Scripture. We embrace Scripture. But we do stick with science. And our understanding of science, we struggle with this concept of a virgin birth. It is beyond what we can comprehend. In my seminary class, The professor said to us, "So tell me, if they were to do a DNA test on the baby Jesus when he was, say, 2 or 3 or 4, what would that test show? What would that reveal if they could?" Well, we don't really know. But we do embrace this concept of the virgin birth, the miraculous nature of Jesus' birth we see in our text today. Not only do we see the prophetic fulfillment, and not only do we see the miraculous nature of the birth of Christ, we see the necessity of the birth of Christ. Before the cantata last week, I shared that the message of the cantata is beautiful. Of Christ coming to save his people. But that wasn't an optional thing. It wasn't like, you know, like I explained, it wasn't like putting a nice pretty wreath on a door or putting lights on a Christmas tree. Those are optional, you would say. But Jesus Christ coming to save humanity was not an option. We would be eternally lost without God stepping out of eternity and into time and space and taking on human flesh. We would be eternally lost. Sometimes at this time of the year, our brokenness and our lostness seems to be amplified. We think of those that we lost, loved ones that we lost. My father passed away 18 years ago this month. I remember my first Christmas after I lost my dad to cancer. It was a blur. It was a blur. And I know that just because 1 year goes by and 2 and 3 and 4, it doesn't necessarily mean that we don't forget and have that heartbreak around this time of year. But it's because of that baby being born that we can have hope. I was honored and privileged to be able to participate in the memorial service of Barry's father. And something struck me about the family. They're a very close-knit family, but there is love between them, and they held up the memory of Robert Sr., Barry's father. Because of what Jesus Christ has done in his coming to earth to redeem lost humanity, we all can have hope. We can all have hope that we will be reunited with loved ones. Amen.